Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A big show coming up today. Yesterday, of course, we had Neil Coulong on to talk about the Steelers. So today we'll shift gears. We'll talk with Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. We'll talk with him in just a few minutes about the Eagles, their loss to Detroit. And then, of course, the big one with the Redskins coming up this weekend. We'll also hear from Joe Susan in our second half hour today. Bucknell coming off that dramatic win in defeating Holy Cross, down 17-0. They rallied and won the game and beat Holy Cross on the road in Worcester on Saturday, 21-20. They open up a two-game homestand with Colgate. Colgate at 1 o'clock Saturday at Matheson. So Colgate, the Red Raiders in town to take on Bucknell Saturday at 1. You'll hear it, by the way, on Eagle 107 with Doug Bergsong and the triumphant return of Kevin Herr to the broadcast team. Okay. And also on the show today, we will have Scott Hansen. NFL Red Zone, we'll hear from him. And also Jordan Rodrigue. You'll notice that the title on Jordan Rodrigue has now changed because she has left the Center Daily Times, and starting tomorrow, she begins covering the Carolina Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. She'll be working with our old friend Joe Person. Joe, if you recall, joined us last year during the Panthers' playoff run. What made the connection with Joe tremendous was the fact that Joe Person is a Williamsport guy. And Joe, during that run by the Panthers, joined us several times on the show right up until Super Bowl week where he joined us. Well, Jordan is now going to leave the Center Daily Times and officially starts her job in Charlotte tomorrow with the Observer. And she will be the complement to Joe Person at the Charlotte Observer in covering the Carolina Panthers. So we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes. How about the Cubs last night? Four runs they scored in the ninth inning, down 5-2. Down 5-2. And they won 6-5. They're in the National League Championship Series. They'll get either the Nationals or the Dodgers game 5, the fifth and deciding game at Nationals Park tomorrow. And, of course, the Dodgers won yesterday 6-5. Game 1, American League Championship Series, Jays and Indians also tomorrow. Also tomorrow it's going to be the Denver Broncos with Trevor Siemian back taking on Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers. The NFL Thursday night game will not have to go head-to-head at all with the Cubs in the National League Division Series because they won last night. That's a break for the NFL. Coming up, Jordan Rodrigue leaving the Center Daily Times, going to the Charlotte Observer. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 41 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC.
Choose from over four city blocks of new Fords. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks.
Trucktoberfest means savings up to 12.5 grand on new F-150s.
Every new F-150 at SMC will be equipped with a genuine Ford bedliner and a complimentary tonneau cover.
Trucktoberfest means $4,000 off
every 2017 Ford Escape, and they're priced as low as $20,880.
Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for up to 72 months is available.
Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, Jordan Rodrigue's been a great friend to this program with all the great work she's done over the last now season and a half covering Penn State football for the Center Daily Times. Excellent reporter, asks very good questions, very thoughtful, writes good material. Well, it's been noticed in other places because she has now left the Center Daily Times and she will start her job tomorrow working at the Charlotte Observer. She will be working with our old an old friend of this show, Joe Person, Williamsport's own, because they will be the tag team that will cover the Carolina Panthers for the rest of the season. So a great move for her. And it's well-deserved. And we welcome into the show Jordan Rodrigue, now of the Charlotte Observer. Jordan, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. I'm really fortunate and humbled by the whole experience, and obviously going to miss everyone out here. It's been just a new experience every day and just met some truly wonderful people, you guys included. And it's a bittersweet new moment for me, but I'm really fortunate and excited to be out there.
What are they going to have you do down at Charlotte with the Observer?
I'm going to be one of the two beat writers for the Carolina Panthers out there. So myself and Joe Person, and then their columnist Scott Fowler are going to be on the ground out there and on the road out there. And I leave this weekend and I get going next week officially. So I'm pretty I'm raring to go, ready to jump in head first here.
It's obviously been an interesting run here in covering this football team, in which they decided that since you were here, they would play Pac-12 style football. what progress have you seen in the football team this year, which makes you say to yourself, gee, I know this is great and awesome, but boy, I'd like to see this to its conclusion?
Yeah, you know, I am kind of sad I'm going to be missing what I think will be a really a strong culmination of all the pieces they've been trying to put together since Joe Moorhead got on campus and they switched over to the up-tempo spread. I've been really impressed with the learning curve the team has been shown every single game, it seems, since week one. And it seems like they have seen very specific mistakes and very specific problems, and they've fixed them over the course of the last few weeks. And obviously there are still a few mistakes that need to be fixed still, and there's still a long way for some of these younger players to go. But I've just been really impressed with how adaptable this team has been. That's not something I saw last year at all. They're situationally adaptable, and I think that's really important. And it's really almost, you know, I know we're unbiased and beat writers, but it's cool to see young people doing that. They're all very young, and so I just think it's really interesting to watch throughout the course of the game how, led, of course, by the adaptability of Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley, how quickly they can adapt to these learning curves. It's been very interesting for me to watch.
You learn something at every job. What did you learn at Arizona State that you'll carry for you the rest of the way? What did you learn here that you'll carry with you the rest of the way before you go to Charlotte?
Well, something that really helped me when I was at Arizona State was my first year there was the first year of Todd Graham. And so I learned what to watch when a new head coach takes over a program, and Todd Graham really gutted what had been there before under Dennis Erickson and really kind of rebuilt things in his own way. Now, obviously, coming in here, and I came in when James Ferguson was in after his first season, and it was a different kind of rebuild because of everything that had happened. So it's really both things have taught me to come in with a level of preparedness that will kind of be over-prepared for the situation at hand, because every situation is unique, and I think there couldn't have been more opposite situations in the head coaching change over at Arizona State as compared to the head coaching change here at Penn State. And I think that the situations were so unique in themselves that being prepared for anything is really what some of these jobs have taught me. I am going to really miss covering college football. I know that, but I can now be a fan of college football publicly. So
right, sure.
Get ready for that, Steve.
Exactly. Good. We had more fans of college football. Great. But you're also going down into an interesting situation in Charlotte. We know mm-hmm. what's happened away from football in Charlotte. And at the same time, we also know in the NFL that there is more emphasis by certain players on social issues. So yes. What have you done to get yourself ready to get yourself, quote, into that environment so you're up to speed quickly about where everyone stands and everything, especially in that city?
Well, the city is in a stage of growing pains right now, is my perception of it. I was lucky enough to go out there some of those things have been happening. I went out after the Michigan game a couple weeks ago. I went straight to Charlotte after that. So I saw firsthand outside my hotel, you know, the National Guard is in the streets, and it was a crazy time in that city, and it still is a very controversial to some, but necessary to others. And I think that perpetuating the dialogue and being open and respectful of that dialogue within the locker room, outside of the locker room, to various sources and agents and owners and players, and just making sure that they know that I am there to talk about what is happening, but to present it in a way that is informative, unbiased, clear, presenting all sides of the situation, which is something that I learned a lot from being here, because obviously there's a kind of a big divide in this community in some aspects of the Penn State football program. And so being able to present that situation and the various things that happened after it with lawsuits and community feelings and players and how things kind of have continued to roll out here after the Sandusky scandal, it really has been a true test and a lesson in just remaining informative and doing things the right way and sticking true to those pillars of journalism that, you know, the digital age is moving very fast, but there are still those pillars that people in the community really respond to and they really respect if you enter the situation in the right way.
Jordan, what did you do to get yourself up to speed on Penn State before you took the job, and how are you trying to get yourself up to speed now on the Panthers and the NFL?
Well, I read a lot. It's a long drive. Unfortunately, my dog couldn't share the drive because, the whole thumb thing. But it's a long drive, and I read a lot. There's a ton of history here, so meeting people like Lou Prado or going back and talking to former players and former coaches, reaching out, picking up the phone and having conversations that, you know, they take time, but it's meaningful time spent because it's really helping bring you up to speed on what matters to the people in the community, what matters to the team, the history of the team. It's a new situation in Carolina. Obviously, the team is only a couple decades old, so it's not it won't have as extensive of a history, I think, that I kind of jumped into here at Penn State. But all the same, the preparation level will be similar in that you read anything and everything you can, from cultural blogs to beat writers to court documents of various things that have happened, to trade stock, to analysts, to picking up the phone and calling anyone and everyone that you can, which is what I did here. And obviously, it's a community of just an incredibly large amount of beat writers that cover the Penn State football team. And so there was no shortage of reading material anywhere. And then everyone here has been such a fantastic resource. People in the community written me handwritten me letters about their Penn State experience. And I've sat down with people, and I hope it's the same in Charlotte. I hope people reach out to me, and I know that I certainly will reach out to them to try and just get a feel of what the pulse is like out there.
It also means covering Cam Newton, who handles himself really, for the most part, really well in, obviously, press conference situations. But he also is one of the more dynamic personalities in the league, dynamic on the field and dynamic as a personality off the field. Any way you can study for that, or is that just something you're just going to have to watch play out in front of your eyes?
You know, that's something that you got to just be adaptable to. I think really communicating right off the bat, when we're doing the meet and greets and whatnot with players and personnel, really trying to show exactly who I am right off the bat. And that is someone who wants to hear stories and is perceptive and wants to listen to points of view. And it might be various points of view, but understanding personalities is part of the draw to doing this for a living. And so I think that really being transparent in that and perceptive and kind of letting them know right away that whatever various shades of personality they might choose to throw out that day, you're always going to be respectful of that and understand that people are kind of chaotic neutral in themselves. There's no, black or white personality. There's no set in stone what you have to be. The mold of what you have to be in the NFL is kind of broken these days. So I think that making sure that people understand that that I respect that side of the game as well. I think that will go a long way. But you know what, Steve? We will have to see, because literally anything could happen out there.
Yes, anything can, without question. We've had Joe Person on the show a couple of times, and Joe's a Williamsport guy, and we talked about this briefly off the air. Have you had any conversation with him?
Yeah, he took me to breakfast when I went out there for my formal interview, and just a wonderful person. He let me know right off the bat that he is from Williamsport, so we talked to Little League World Series for a little bit. And he's got a couple kids, and he's a coach in a Little League baseball out there, and I think he coaches soccer as well. So it's interesting. I know that I hope to only be a compliment on the beat. I know I hope to be obviously a detriment, and I know that I'm replacing just a fabulous writer, someone I'm a huge fan of, and Jonathan Jones. So I just really want to get out there and show that, you know, I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone and work as hard as I possibly can to be a compliment on what is already an incredibly strong beat, and just learn, be a sponge, everything there is to learn. I'll probably bug Joe at a certain point with how many questions I'll be asking him, but he's very up to the task, and he's certainly a wonderful person in himself. So I'm pretty excited to be working with him.
Well, you have an outstanding work ethic, and this is a well-deserved move for you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. We thank you for being a good friend of the show and for coming on whenever we asked, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, guys. It's been a real pleasure coming on your show and seeing you guys in the community, and I just so appreciate the wonderful resources you both have been and learning from a couple of the best in the business.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that. Jordan, good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. Actually, Charlotte Observer now. Congratulations to her. Congratulations. She'll do a great job at the Charlotte Observer. She did a great job at the CDT. Charlotte Observer is lucky to have her. All right, coming up on the show still to come, next half hour, Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell. Normally we do our weekly talk on Mondays, but they have practice on Mondays, so he'll be on today, and we'll be talking with him. Their showdown with Colgate is coming up Saturday at Mathewson at 1 o'clock, 12:30 the airtime, with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr on Eagle 107. Looking forward to that. Don't forget, tomorrow our high school football roundtable is going to take place. We'll have that for you tomorrow and preview all the high school games coming up for the weekend. Another big weekend coming up. Can you believe it? We're already into, what, weekend number, let's see, 8? Is that what we're up to now? Weekend 8 for Penn State to be weekend 7, right? So weekend 8 of high school football. It's incredible that we're this deep into the high school football season. And the weather has been incredible. I mean, I know the weather for the last two Penn State games, Minnesota and Maryland, was a bit marginal, but the weather last Friday night was great. I mean, Saturday wasn't tremendous, but the weather Friday night was great. And the weather this Friday night looks great as well to get out there and watch some high school games. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that coming up as well. Don't forget this day in sports history coming up as well, Sports Bozo of the Day coming up, and much, much more. So it's big doings with the Dodgers tomorrow in the Nationals. Fifth and deciding game winner gets the Cubs. Jays and Indians opening game of American League Championship Series tomorrow. Chargers and Broncos. It's a little different, say, the Broncos with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, not Peyton Manning. He's done well, though. And Phillip Rivers and the Chargers on Thursday Night Football. NFL catches a big break, finally. There's no debate, and there are no Cubs against them head-to-head. Coming up on Thursday night. It's good news. Coming up, bottom of the hour news. Next half hour, Joe Susan. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Time now for this day in sports history. Now, the Cubs won last night. Okay, the Cubs won last night. 4 runs in the 9th inning, beat the Giants. Well, today happens to be the anniversary of the Cubs winning the World Series. In 1907, they beat the Tigers 4-0 with 1 tie to win the World Series on this date in 1907. 1916, the Red Sox beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in 5 games to win the World Series. Now, the Indians open up the American League Championship Series tomorrow against the Jays. It was on this date in 1920, the Indians beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in 7 games to win the World Series. They won it 5-2. Yet it was a best of 9 back then. Also on this date, in 1967, the Cardinals, behind Bob Gibson, beat the Red Sox in the 7th and deciding game of the World Series at Fenway Park. Lou Brock, by the way, set a World Series record with 7 stolen bases in the series. Also on this date, 19th Olympiad opened in Mexico City. Big day for Philly fans in the history. Phillies beat the Astros in 5 games in 1980 to send them to the World Series, where they eventually won and beat the Kansas City Royals. And also on this date, Doug Flutie, 1991, of the BC Lions set a CFL passing record, 582 yards. They lost to the Edmonton Eskimos 45-38. There you go. Joined by Bucknell Head football coach Joe Susan. Joe, winning is always great, but sometimes it's how you win that also has an impact. What can you tell us about how you won on Saturday?
Well, the unique thing is that we went down 17 points, and what you look at is the body language of your team when they're dealing with adversity. And we started to figure out what they were doing offensively, our defense. And what happened is that early in the game, our offensive line was challenged by some pretty good players on as their defensive end. And we had trouble protecting the quarterback where he wasn't comfortable in the pocket, and he got a little gun-shy. Didn't really get hit much, but he felt pressure. And what we did is we made the decision to start running our screen game, and our screen game really broke out for us, and it really impacted their defensive front in terms of whether we were running screens. They actually started to spy some guys, and what that did is it slowed them down some. And it played into our run game, and we went into halftime 20-7, and talked to them at halftime about how important it was for us to understand we got 30 minutes left and our defense has their offense figured out. And it wound up working that way. I think they only gained 23 yards total in the second half. A lot of three and outs. And our offense, we did try some no huddle early in the game, and that's not what we are. And we went back to what we are. And our offense controlled the ball for 20 minutes out of 30 minutes. And we had we made it 20-14. Then we wound up scoring with about six and a half minutes left to make it 21-20. We had a chance to run out the clock, and we actually did what we needed to do in terms of running out the clock. And they called us. We run a play in fourth and less than 5 that gives us an opportunity to either shift and not call a play or shift and call a play. And we shifted, and their entire defense jumped. But the officials thought it was us, and it wasn't us. And I actually turned that play in, and the officials agreed with the head of officials agreed. I'm not one to comment on the officials. They got to make calls in real time. But it really showed the resilience of our players. And the past 3 games, the games we've lost, we've missed 10-plus tackles in each of those games. And, you know, you're playing against some pretty good people. And in this game, we missed 5 tackles overall, which, you know, we want our goal to be 9 or under when we go into a game, right. And it's great that we missed 5. The other thing we didn't do is we didn't turn the ball over on offense. We did turn it over on a punt. That the win there plays a role in that game. And one of the things that kind of surprised me was that I think they thought they were going to score in the third quarter and then we'd go to sleep. So they took the win in the third quarter.
Right.
And I think it played something into, they tried a field goal, 42-yarder, and it was going against the wind in the fourth quarter, and you missed it bad. And it's interesting to look back and say, what if he had the win? You know, and but the big thing is that, you know, when it's a 6.5 hour drive on your way home, it's a lot easier to drive that 6.5 hours when you win.
There is no doubt about that.
We came out of it. We came out of it healthy.
Okay.
That's a big thing, and we got healthier today. Nick O'Brien will be back as one of our corners. He's also our punt returner, and I think after our punt returner fumbled, he became a little cautious about trying to track the ball, because I thought their punter did an outstanding job at punting away from us, and there were some that I know Nick would catch, because Nick is really cold-blooded when it comes to this stuff, and it made their punter, his total net, a lot different because we let it bounce,
right,
and it changed the field. Coming out of it with the win gives us, and we talked to him about it before the game, every game in this league is a playoff game, and I asked him how many of them have ever played pool, and they kind of looked at me strange. And one of the kids said billiards. I said, not billiards, pool.
Pool.
And usually on a pool table, you take a shot, set up the next shot.
That's right.
That's what I talked to him about. The next shot is already set up. And just because it's fall break here, we gave them off Sunday. We had a chance to have two preseason days, today and tomorrow, and just got off the practice field as we speak, and they came out and they're fired up, which you expect it to be. You're a little bit different when you come after a win. And, you know, I talked to a number of our head coaches in our athletic program, and we all agree that winning's hard, but it certainly is good.
Oh, it sure is. I want to ask you about the tackling component, because, I mean, you and I have talked about, look, this is not like 20 years ago where you'd be running a practice 20 years ago, I'd go to the practice 20 years ago. You know, you and I both know the rules are completely different now. Has it made a big difference, Joe, that now you played 5 games and they've had to tackle 5 games, thus the tackling has improved?
It certainly has, Steve, and that has been our live tackling. You know, we don't do... You know, we did a real limited number of live tackling in preseason. We do a tackling circuit in every practice, but when you look at it, the tackling circuit is program tackling. In a game, it's non-program tackling.
Right.
If that guy's changing direction, you don't know which way he's going. And it's the other thing that comes into it is the space component. In tackling circuit, it's more confined space, whereas in a game, it becomes a lot of space. And I thought that after, you know, we missed a few early, but after that, I think we really settled into playing the way we are supposed to play in all three phases, but primarily defensively. That's how our defense plays, and that's how we want to play. I think we some of the things we did in terms of our checks, when they did certain things, I think it really disrupted the timing of their passing game. And then they couldn't run the ball, and they had to throw. It was actually good that R.J. Sheldon, well, the last play, their last play of offense, Abdullah Anderson got free, and he could have tackled their quarterback in the end zone. Doug Whitlock. And I'm glad he didn't, because had we gotten a safety there, we'd have to defend an onside kick.
That's right.
And, you know, we have the, you know, and that could change the dynamic of the game, but we tackled him at the one. Then people kind of looked at me funny, why take a knee at the one? I'd rather, you know, if you go in and score, they'd probably let you score. Then you got to, you know, you got to kick off to them and give them the ball back. Whereas we, you know, when the game's over, the game's over. And great for the kids.
Exactly, you know, because a young man for USC was running free for a touchdown against Colorado and deliberately went down at the 10 because he knew Colorado was out of timeouts.
Exactly. And we call that downtime. Yep. Downtime. It's something that you have to set your ego aside, because I see it on Saturdays. I see it on Sundays.
Yep.
Where they keep going and you give the guy the ball back. They don't need the ball back on the score when you have more than they do.
No question about it. You ran the ball well. You talked about the 28 yards you gave up in the second half. Huge, great job by the defense. You ran the ball well, controlled the clock. What about Matt Mew in a road situation? Did you like the way he managed the game and how he handled the moments?
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job. You know, he's a big, strong kid. He's not a great runner, but we don't ask him to run that much. I thought his pocket presence was good. He was 18 for 25, and we had two drops. Or had we completed those, he would have been 20 for 25. And the big thing is he took care of the football. And you know, I think our receivers complimented him. You know, some of the yardage we got was on screens, but it really shows how fast Joe DeFloria is,
right,
and that he ran away from their entire defense on a couple. But Matt, in terms of spreading the ball around and taking advantage of the coverage, and he'll only get better. That was his third game as a starter. He'll only get better. And I think the guys in that offensive huddle, you know, there's a lot of seniors in that offensive huddle. And I think initially they got into that, well, we miss RJ Nitti. Now they see that Matt has really done a good job and is getting better every practice and every game. And his confidence will grow. You know, obviously, he's got to stay within our system, but his confidence will grow. And he developed confidence as a quarterback by experience, and it'll be interesting to see, especially as our receivers develop. And Will Carter took over career receptions and yardage,
yep,
over a pretty good player in Tom Mitchell.
Yep.
And then Andrew Hours is playing healthy for the first time. He's hard to cover. You know, you put a linebacker on him, there's a difference in athleticism. You put a safety on him, he's bigger than they are. So they've got to make the decision. Then Andrew Podbielski, getting the tight end involved is so important to our offense. And then Justin Buffet made a heck of a catch on a naked going in as we went in for getting ready to score our last touchdown. And then on both of the touchdowns that Chad Freshnock scored, he actually ran people. He ran linebackers over. And I, you know, you recruit these guys and see them in school. You see them. But I saw Chad just in pregame. He walked out with had a tight undershirt on and his football pants on. And I said, boy, is he a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
He's going to be a 220-pound tailback as he grows up. He has to wear a knee brace this year once he loses that knee brace. You're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and you know, great compliment to Joe DeFloria.
Yeah, no, you lose the knee brace and suddenly get some Getty up in you.
Yep.
Colgate coming up, first of a two-game homestand. The win great was Saturday. Now, of course, you got to follow it up, which you've already emphasized to your players. Just a quick thumbnail on what makes Colgate the challenge.
The thing that makes Colgate the challenge is Jake Melville,
yep,
the quarterback. And he does such a great job of that run-pass option or run-run option that you've got to be right. Because if he breaks into the secondary, he's fast enough to hit a home run. I think he spreads the ball around well. Their offensive line is always bigger and well-coached. Defensively, they're really good against the run, but people have thrown the ball very effectively against him. I think they're giving up 353 yards passing yardage per game.
Yeah,
and if one part of our ability to beat Colgate will be to control the football and keep Jake Melville where he can't hurt us on the sideline, and you know, I think we got better in the red zone this past week. We're 3 for 3 with our red zone scores. And the good thing is, I talked to our athletic director, John Hart, today, is that a couple years ago we started out 1-4 and had a lot of kids hurt. And you got to get ready, next guy up. But we got healthier as the season went on, and I think we're getting healthier now. And I just knock on wood that it's that trend stays that way. We came out of this game with minimal, you know, you run into people for 60 plays, you're going to get banged up, but nothing serious, which is good.
One final question, I'll let you go, because you mentioned getting the tight end involved. What kind of matchup problem, linebacker, safety, does that create, and is the domino then helping Will Carter when you get him involved?
No question. Especially if you can put him in space, the tight end, and we do that with both ours and Podbielski, where we separate him from the tackle. And what that does, it makes releases a lot easier. If he's attached to the tackle, he's in condensed space, they can get hands on him. And if he can be on time with where he's supposed to be in a specific route, I think it plays into our ability to clear for Will. And if they overcover Will, we'll throw it to the tight end. And, you know, Andrew Hours is big and strong enough, but he's also quick enough to push the ball down the field. And that's the thing that he gives us that he hadn't been able to give us over the early part of the season, because he was dealing with a real nagging hamstring injury. And he's a 6'2", 240-pounder that isn't one of those 270-pound guys like the Holy Cross tight end. But he runs so much differently than those guys, and great hands. Getting him involved, he drew a defensive pass interference just because of the way he ran his route. And he protects the ball with his body. You know, he's open by leverage, but he also uses his body well. And Andrew Podbielski, catch and run has become a part of what he does. And he's also, if you were to watch him on our kickoff returns, he's one of the most violent collision guys. And he loves it. And Andrew Podbielski might have a conversation with me over the past 3 years that I've had him that amounts to like 3 or 4 words at a time. But he goes by the premise, well done, better than well said. Great kid, too. Western PA kid, Black Hawk High School, that Joe Hamilton, longtime head coach there. And, you know, it's good to see the kids come together. The thing that, you know, everybody congratulating the head coach, my big thing is I feel so good for these kids because they work their tails off. And, you know, you're not going to win every game you play. Nobody does. But when you win a league game at a opponent's site, I think that's huge. And one of the things that was great is that we actually had more fans than they did.
Yeah.
And part of it, they had fall break. But I told my team today, Colgate's on fall break right now. So they're doing the same thing we're doing. They're getting the preseason practice out of today and tomorrow. And, you know, Colgate Bucknell has always been one that I know some unique Colgate alums, and I know that one of them from my hometown is a retired FBI agent. He'll be here, and his name is Scott Barra. It's shortened because everybody had a ski in their name in my hometown, and he has always asked me to run the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
So he'll be here someplace, and I'll see him after the game.
That's great. Joe, congratulations to you and the staff and the players on a great win. Best of luck on Saturday at home.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Appreciate you taking my call this late in the day.
Bucknell football coach Joe Susan, Colgate, Saturday, 1 o'clock at Mathewson, as they're back home after that dramatic win over Holy Cross 21-20 on Saturday. We look forward to seeing you out at Mathewson on Saturday for this showdown with Colgate, first of a 2-game homestand for Bucknell. Next half hour, Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.